The first reading today is from Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. He took on the status of a slave. If you've gotten anything out of all of the following of Jesus Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourself the way Jesus Christ taught of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantage of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever. So that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow and worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. That concludes the first reading.
Dear ones, centuries ago, the prophet Isaiah predicted that there will come a day and a time that people will seek to be taught God's ways and to walk in God's paths. When that happens, he predicted, nations will no longer have wars amongst themselves and will finally seek to walk in the light of God. Let us read that prophecy from Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 5. There's a day coming when the mountain of God's house will be the mountain, solid, towering over all mountains. All nations will river toward it. People from all over set out for it, and they'll say, "Come, let's climb God's mountain. Go to the house of the God of Jacob. He'll show us the way he works so we can live the way we were made." Zion is the source of the revelation. God's message comes from Jerusalem. He will settle things fairly between nations. He will make things right between many people. They will turn their swords into shovels, their spears into hoes. No more will nation fight nation. They won't play war anymore. Come, family of Jacob, let us live in the light of God. Here ends our scripture reading. I was really trying for this morning to think of something at the beginning of the sermon, just a little bit light-hearted, just to bind us together. And I thought, and there came a moment for me in prayer that I said, "Oh God, it is so difficult to smile in the times that we're living in right now. Tornadoes causing so much loss, so much pain and suffering in our southern states. They were preceded by Japan's earthquakes, tsunamis, and nuclear radiation. And all these happenings, recent happenings, touched not only the world, but all of us in many different ways. The first 4 months of 2011 brought so much misery, pain, and desperate conditions. Uprisings and revolts in the Arab world are causing the suffering of untold millions. So we are left with one question. What about us? Do we just ignore it and say, thank God we weren't touched, so let's move on? Or do we pause and think and wonder, how do we respond to the reality of these days? Cries of pain, agony, and heartbreak are rising up as we speak in thousands of places, defying all description. The demise and horror of so many fellow human beings have numbed our minds and overpowered us with facts and with figures. Concern for looming disaster in our world and all who dwell on it is actually as old as history itself. And often disaster does not happen through nature, but it is actually caused by the human race, hurting and destroying itself when erupting in war and violence, causing panic, fear, destruction, and leaving famine and desperation in its wake. So, instead of a slightly humorous word, a prayer coming from my heart, may you and I experience inner peace and an awareness of God's healing presence, leading us to wholeness here and now. May wounds be healed and hopes revive, even as we worship this morning and prepare to celebrate and receive the tokens of God's love and forgiveness in communion. You may recall that John's Gospel tells us that on occasion Jesus rescued a street woman from a howling mob and sent her on her way to sin no more and reach for a better tomorrow. And with that, in his time, which was also a wicked and a horrible time, Jesus set an example that convinced many that he was indeed the light so long expected by Isaiah. And then the Bible records that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then the promise, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Sounds beautiful. Somebody may even say, well, a little bit of religious jargon. You hear it all the time. That's how these Christians speak. They speak in sort of rhymes and riddles. And does it ever have any meaning for us? Do we really care, or do we just soothe our conscience with a quick morning service before taking the rest of the week for ourselves? How do we actually follow Jesus out of the darkness into the light that he promised? Well, it's not a new question. I cannot claim copyright on it. This is a question that's been asked since the beginning of the Christian calendar. The early church fathers coined a certain phrase, imago Christi. Imago Christi, literally translated as not the image of Christ, but the example of Jesus Christ. Well, we know of who Jesus was. We know a little how he lived. We've heard what he taught. And we understand what he sacrificed to provide us with a lasting model of how to live and even how to die. Ever thought of it that way? That the gospel of Jesus Christ is also almost like a manual and you can refer to and say, well, in Jesus Christ the light appeared long ago. And now that I'm at this particular juncture of my own life, now that I have to make decisions that will influence me and those around me, what do I do it? How do I do it? Now, our younger generation, and they have a way of expressing themselves, have actually tried to formulate the secret of how to follow the example of Christ, how to escape darkness, how to walk into the light. Our younger generation got little armbands for themselves and they wrote on it WWJD. That's a language of our time. What does it mean? Simple question. Imago Christi, what would Jesus do? We say, well, the image of Christ. Or look into your heart, ask yourself the example, what's the exact example of Jesus Christ? And then simply follow him. However we do it, in the language of our time or of the previous generation, we are bearers of a message that can indeed make a difference. That can indeed change the world. It is a message that we are called to communicate to a world often careening out of control. And we hold fast to the simple confession. I heard these words from my father and mother. I heard them from my grandfather and grandmother. Christ is the light of the world. After all, it is not about what greed can do for you, what lust can do for you, what hatred can do for you, what revenge can do for you. It is about concern for the least and the lowest. It is about simplicity, beauty, and love. It's about nations beating their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. It is about lives of righteousness, harmony. It's about of living in peace. That's true of ourselves, and if your life is no longer touched and changed by Jesus Christ, hear me, then something is wrong. Wrong with your faith. Wrong with your understanding of who Jesus is. if it's just a name to hear now and then, and often to be heard as a sort of a cuss word, then we need to look at our personal relationship. Our personal relationship with God in and through Jesus Christ. But He does not only bring life and light and understanding and peace and harmony in our personal lives. He is also the one who brings light across the world. The message is that Christ is not our personal little candlish selfish light, but Christ is the light of the world. It's a very personal message of hope and encouragement that we can take with us today out of this church, back into the world, and make it part of who we are, what we believe, and how we respond. Yes, the story of Jesus is ultimately a very personal story. It claims a special place in our hearts, and that makes it so appealing to share our vision, our liberation, and our joy with others, and somehow find a way to tell them, you ever thought of it, that you can also follow Jesus as your Savior, as your teacher, as your Lord? But it goes beyond that. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't stand here today. As Christians, we believe and hope that finally there will be victory of light over darkness, love over hatred, peace over war, a day when Christ shall reign over all. They are part of the same package. If you believe that God has intervened in human history to reveal God's will and ways and plan for creation, then you also believe that the world as we know it is not God's final, is not God's last word. Then you understand scriptures in this way. You begin to believe that history has direction and has purpose. You believe that there is a kingdom coming that will be alive and well and shall one day extend its sovereignty over everything that lives and moves and has its being. And that we simply call the kingdom of our God. And the anticipation of that kingdom gives us hope in the midst, even of our deepest despair. I believe that the same light that has penetrated the darkness so long ago will one day expel the darkness. Right now there are many even followers of Jesus Christ who still have to learn the real meaning of who Jesus really was. I believe that one day the light will break through. I believe that the day is coming when we who discovered in Jesus enough light to live by will one day decide amongst ourselves to stop playing the game of religion and abandon the ways of darkness. I believe that one day God's children will hurt each other no more, and that the light of the world will shine into every remaining speck of darkness in our midst. And if I do not see it in my life, oh God, I pray for my children and their children and their children, that one day you and I will be remembered as those who brought the light of Jesus Christ into their lives and passed it on to the generation after us. May it be that the message of this communion table for you and me touch us, renew us, give us new hope, and change us as children of the kingdom of God. Amen.